Psalms 55, verse 23. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. From Psalms 56, verse 10, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Together we have sung, fear not any longer. Behold, I am with thee. Similar, the psalm writer expressed it here through the Spirit of God. And he says here, with God's help, not in his own strength, with God's help will I praise his word. With the help of the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? Together, today, and forever, we put our trust in the Lord God. In him who speaks to us through his word, who has given his promises and who fulfills them. And as I said it many times, God is trustworthy. His word is credible. Here we don't have to think about. This is already clear with God, and it should also be clear to us. With God's help will I praise his word. With the help of the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? And then the command, cast upon the Lord thy burden. He will uphold thee. He doesn't let the righteous be moved. Most certainly, today, some are in our midst who bear their own burdens or who bear the burdens of another one, who have a trouble, whatever kind it might be, having it on their hearts. Together, we want to cast our burdens today on the Lord. Together, we want to believe that he will fulfill his promises, that he will pardon us so that he can answer us, that he can help, that he can save and heal. When is the word of the Lord be praised? Only then, when it is being fulfilled on us, and this shall take place. God's word was given for the purpose that the promises contained therein are fulfilled in you and in me. Namely, today, in this service, and furthermore, in the days which we will still have, let us write it in our hearts. Say it to yourself, now I cast my burden upon the Lord. He will keep me. He let not be, I shall not be moved. We have to refer it to ourselves, being personally addressed and taking it for ourselves. And to it, may God the Lord give today His grace. That this would be a personal service for you and for me. An hour of your and my encounter with God. A gathering where God speaks to us, meeting us, blessing us. How many believe that we are not only coming together to speak of that, what God has done, but that He can also do something in us. We look at that, what God did on others, for the purpose that faith is being worked in us, so that God can glorify Himself so in us as on those whose testimonies are left to us in the Holy Scripture. And if we understood this, then we have a living faith in the living God who doesn't know any borders anymore, who goes beyond our capabilities, who can swing up into the presence of God, who is able to do all things. Let us take it personally. I cast my burden upon the Lord. He will keep me in all things. He shall sustain me. He shall not let me be moved. How wonderful is our God, a personal Savior, a faithful God, who today in you and my life does something very new. And to this we want to worship Him now, asking Him for it. It's not a matter of course, but God answers prayers. And we're not coming to this place to just to sing or to show our clothes or to fill out the time. We are really coming to this place to have an encounter with God, and may He give it to you and to me. Beloved, when we now pray together, then nobody should be silent. Everyone should open his mouth, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I think the heart is full of longing, full of desire to our God. Therefore, we have come here. And so, I ask for it, that we stand up, that we pray. Heavenly Father, we are coming into your holy presence under the protection of the blood of the Lamb, to your throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we ask you, let us today be under an open heaven, faithful God. Together we cast our burdens, our troubles, our needs, and whatever may touch us, whatever may oppress us, this all we cast upon you, Lord our God. Come and meet us. Help us today in this service. Confirm thy word. Glorify thy name. Manifest your power. Save the lost. Heal the sick. Bless your people. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. Together, we want to glorify you for great things you did already, and even greater things you will still do. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh God, we place ourselves and this service under the protection of the blood of the Lamb. Satan lost every right. He's conquered, defeated. He must move. Oh God, reveal yourself in your power. Glorify your name. Lord, give me and us the leading of your Holy Spirit. Close my mouth and open it, O Lord. May your will be done. May your voice be heard. And may your word fall into our hearts. Faithful God, give us now the connection to you and the fellowship with you and with one another. We lay everything before you and we thank you that you are making it well for the praise and for the glory of your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, all the worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Today, we will speak about a certain subject which is upon my heart since the 28th of December. A long time, after some time passed, I heard the voice which spoke already sometimes, whether in Marseille, whether in Krefeld, whether in Bornholm, or wherever it might be. A couple of times I've heard the same voice. On the 28th of December, I've heard it as you hear my voice now with the following words. I have them before me. I've written them down. Gather ye my people with whom I made the covenant by sacrifice. I cannot tell you, or you cannot feel like what happened with me. I turned my face to the left where the watch was, and it was exactly 4:13. And the thought came to me, there are people who stumble over the number 13. I don't stumble over it. I must be true. And I cannot make a 15 out of a 13. Although some would like to have it, a man who stands before God and who is aware of it, that he must give responsibility. He cannot fumble. He must be true and remain true in all things. And so, since that hour, a special need is on my heart to gather the people of God, the people of God with whom the Lord made the covenant by sacrifice. And we know that since the beginning it was sacrificed. Cain and Abel, they already sacrificed each one of them. All prophets, all men of God, when the Lord spoke to them, they built an altar. They sacrificed on it, and by this establishing the relationship with God. But on the cross of Calvary, the sacrifice, which was once for all given and is valid, was given. And about this I want to speak today. And I tell you already the reason why. The reason is that we firstly must receive and accept Calvary by faith before we can experience the same blessings which were in the early church. By faith, that what happened on the cross of Calvary, we must really receive it and looking at it as true for our lives. One thing I want to say before that, I said it here sometimes already, when the Lord God has called Moses to lead out the people of Israel, he went with Aaron to Pharaoh. They did great signs and miracles, but the heart of Pharaoh became harder and harder. With the moment when the lamb was killed in the houses of Israel, no negotiation had to take place anymore with Pharaoh. The negotiations were unnecessary. Everything was settled. Jannes and Jambres were not be heard anymore, were not seen anymore. Moses and Aaron didn't have to go to Pharaoh anymore. The Lord spoke. Every family should kill a lamb. And then the Exodus took place. And I believe that this we may transfer to the New Testament. But because the Lord always says things which have to agree 100% with His Word, therefore, to that what I read or what I said before, I would like to read from Psalms 50. And then we go to Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10. This statement, gather ye my people with whom I made the covenant by sacrifice, is for me not peanuts and not a thing which I can take lightly. Moses gathered the people because the leading out has come. Everywhere there where the people should be gathered, there God planned something. And I believe that God prepares the Exodus. And I believe that the rapture has come very near. I believe it as never before in all of my life that we are close before the return of the Lord. We notice the first month of this year is almost over. The year will be over very soon if God gives it still to us. And I will, until the end, I will not set any date because this is not possible. But one thing we most surely will emphasize from now on, that the Lord, very soon, He will return. And beloved, we just have to look around us. Politics, I actually don't think about. But on the other hand, there are certain things which we cannot overlook, which are now happening. Perhaps I will go into it in a circular. Psalms 50, on the 28th, this word of the Lord spoke in my heart time and again. But I just looked over it. On the 29th of December, I was thinking there must be somewhere a scripture in which that what was said is about expressed. And really, without much efforts, I found it in Psalms 50. Here it's written, Psalms 50 from verse 5. Verse 4. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people, gather my saints or my pious ones, depends on the translation, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Almost the same wording. Gather ye my saints, my pious ones. Not the nominal members, not just those who just follow, but the true people of God, with whom the Lord made the covenant and on the cross of Calvary, an eternal covenant. People who believe Him, people who trust Him, and who are ready to walk all the way with Him. Gather ye my saints, my righteous ones, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Right after this verse it says, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness. When Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom into two pieces. It should show the way is free. God was reconciled with mankind. The heavens opened. And the righteousness and the blessing of God began to flow down. On the day of Pentecost, it was so far that the first redeemed multitude came into the possession of the divine blessings, which until then were promises. And I think that we, as the Church of the Lord, cannot be satisfied with that, that we are in the possession of the promises, but we must come into the possession of that what the promises contain. The promises are something wonderful, something precious, but they should just awaken in us the desire that they might be fulfilled. Every man of God, and you can go back until Abraham, who is of course called the father of faith. Of him it is written in Romans chapter 4, he believed God, and this was accounted unto him for righteousness. God personally addressed him. He has given him personally a promise. He made a covenant with him personally. And I tell you, spiritually seen by Jesus Christ our Lord, we are the seed of Abraham. And God made the covenant with us. He has given us the promises by his grace. And as he fulfilled them with Abraham, so he will also fulfill them with us. Sometimes the byproducts are a bit incomprehensible for us when they are fulfilled, because we in divine things, we sometimes think humanly. I just would like to pick out one thing. When Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was born, the angel gave the mighty announcement and said, "For unto you is born today the Savior, who is Christ the Lord in the city of David." And at the end it says, "Peace on earth and goodwill toward men." Peace was announced. And when we just read on a bit, then it says, all children, all boys under the age of 2, they were murdered. At that moment of time, when our Lord and Savior brought peace on this earth for all who were ordained to be in peace with God, the enemy let the sword go around in all the country. Much sorrow was everywhere, because the boys under the age of 2 years, they were murdered, slaughtered. How can we understand it? From Cain and Abel on. And that's how our Lord himself said it. From the righteous blood of Abel until the blood of Zechariah, who even at the altar, between the altar and the temple, he was murdered. All the blood of the saints was shed. Humanly, we would say, could God not prevent it? Forget, as the believers, let us forget this word, could. Let us just submit to the will of God. With the good, we can start in the Garden of Eden. Could God not have prevented it? God has a plan, and this plan he fulfills. Important is that we become a part of this plan, because the peace was not ordained for the whole world, but for the people of God's well-pleasing, for the people with whom God made a covenant of peace on the cross of Calvary. And Paul says, so now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And a songwriter sings, when peace like a river attendeth my way. Back to this verse. Gather ye my people, my saints, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. God made the covenant with us by sacrificing the lamb on the cross of Calvary. This making of the covenant, you must respond to, and you must say, Lord, here I am, because to a covenant at least two belong. We just say, Lord, you from your side, you did everything. Now I come and I join this divine covenant, this covenant which you made by the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Once again the emphasis. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness. Heaven is open. The blessing of God runs down. God sees us through Calvary. He sees us as the redeemed, as the delivered ones, as the purchased ones. He sees us as children of God. Let us do it. Read from Hebrews. Here, the apostle, in a special way, he illuminated this divine fact. Hebrews chapter 9, perhaps from verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? In the song we have sung that our own should fade and our way should by dying be led over to life. We can choose whether we let our own I rule, whether we want to live on our own lives, or whether we can give our life into death so that he who died for us can live through us. Here it is shown to us that Christ, as a lamb without spot, has given himself to God to purge our conscience from dead works so that we can serve the living God. Today, God shall give grace to us so that we have a purged conscience before God, to untroubled and unresisted can come into the presence of God. It continues here. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Not only from that time on, but all, from all of the Old Testament, who brought their sacrifices by faith, they were waiting until the Lamb of God would shed its blood, delivering them, justifying them. Now, from Hebrews 9, from verse 18, whereupon neither the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. These two halves belong together. Moses heard what God has spoken, and it was written down. Moses gathered the people to whom God spoke. Now he was reading, and then he sprinkled both. He put both halves under this divine covenant, the people and the word of God, which was ordained, defined for the people of God. Both were put under the sprinkling of the blood. And I tell you, in the new covenant, it is the same. All promises of God are yea and amen through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has put the new covenant in force on the cross of Calvary. It continues, verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has joined and joined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Here is something great. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Let us keep this in mind. The book of the covenant, the people of the covenant, all the vessels belonging to the ministry, everything was put and under the covering and the sprinkling of the blood. The New Testament church, with all the ministries, gifts, and tasks, with everything what shall take place, is under the sprinkling of the blood. Because by the blood of Calvary, we are redeemed and we were plucked out from the enemy. Beloved, our Lord, of course, not only brought us forgiveness of sins, but eternal life he has given by grace. And he himself dealt with the enemy in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then on the cross, conquering, defeating him. On the third day, he proved it by the resurrection. He proved it to the whole world unto this very day. This reminds me now, even it doesn't fit here properly, this reminds me on a sermon which I preached in India. There are many of the Sikh religion, Hindus and Muslims, many of them. And then I said the following to the great multitude. I said, I give you a very fair offer. All shall go to them who they follow. Whoever follows Buddha shall go there where he has gone. And then I listed all these religion founders. And in closing, I said, my decision is firm. I want to be there where he is, whom I serve. I want to be with Jesus Christ. And I tell you, many were pricked in their hearts, and they were sitting there, and they were thinking twice where they shall go. I don't want to be more clear, but I was very clear with them. Sometimes one has to speak a very clear language with the people so that they come to use their brains. If one just tells them light things, then they will not think about it. Now, from Hebrews chapter 10, these very important thoughts, Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Here's also a very important point. In the Old Testament, the people have come, they brought sacrifices, and they were reminded on their sins. When we have understood Calvary fully, then we shall not be reminded on our sins, but reminded on the forgiveness of our sins. Not on the damage, but on the making well of the damage. Not on the fall, but on the restoration of the fall by Jesus Christ our Lord. In the Old Testament, you can read it yourself, the attenders were time and again reminded on their sin and guilt. And here is now the point which must be settled here once for all. There are people, believers, they behave like the people of the Old Testament. They are non-stop, all of their life, they are reminded on sin and guilt, on that what is not right. And they struggle and toil, and they don't come into a relationship with God. It's no life with God, but actually, it's a miserable life. And that one doesn't cope with oneself and doesn't cope with others. Today, God wants that we let this word speak to us. What happens with you and with me under the preaching? Are you then only reminded on your sin? Is it only be made clear that this and that you made wrong? And do you go then home with it? Or is here under the preaching of the word of God, does it become clear to you that you don't need to go home like this? That the reason and effect of a sermon of Jesus Christ must bring a totally different result, namely a perfect forgiveness, reconciliation, justification, cleansing, sanctification, so that the man can get happy in the presence of God. And you all know how we all felt. And here comes the thought to me now, that this is the reason why God cannot give us all the blessings ordained for us in an abundant way, because we didn't grasp yet Calvary in this divine deep meaning. I don't dare to recite what Luther once said, but I was reading again. He said, when I get up in the morning, then the devil starts to dispute with me and questions everything, puts everything in doubt until I tell him, F off. And only then it continues. We must once for all understand that it is the enemy who disputes us Calvary in this divine meaning for us. There, people are 20, 30, 40 years believers, and they are dealing with the same things which they were dealing 40 years ago. And the devil really leads them around in circles, and they turn and turn in circles. Beloved, when it was already said, gather ye my people with whom I made the covenant by sacrifice, then I think that God plans something with us. But then we, as the New Testament covenant people, we must experience the effect and meaning of the covenant of Calvary by faith, asking God to help us, that it becomes a reality in our lives. You all know, there are believers who also confess their sins to anyone. And this, even when a new evangelist comes, then they're running there, and then it starts again. And it really, it goes all throughout the life of those believers. Didn't I read you that this is the condition in the Old Testament? But of course not the condition in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the one was reminded on his sin. He saw the blood of the lamb running, and he said, my God, I'm sorry. And then with the same burden, he went home again. But in the New Testament, it can and it may not remain like this. Do you all believe that God, as long-time believers, or also as young believers, all together, the divine meaning and significance of Calvary, he really wrote it deep into our lives, and he wants to make people out of us, above whom the heaven is open, who no more go from the meeting with a burden, and who are weak and who are down, and who say, my God, what have I done? Who just lift up their hands and lifting their voices and saying, Lord, my God, I cannot grasp it yet, but by faith I receive it now. You made all my damage well. My chastisement was laid on him so that I might have peace, and by his stripes I am healed. That we really experience Calvary, that we know what God wanted to produce in your lives through it. It continues, Hebrews 10, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. He speaks of our Lord and Savior. Then said I, Lo, I come. For in the volume of the book it is written of me. Even the prophet Isaiah, you can read it in Luke chapter 4, when the Lord was reading of it. Then it was rolled together again. At that time, they were not the books which we have today. It were scrolls. In the scroll, it is written of me. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. What was the will of God? Since Genesis 3:15, the Lord has given the promise that the Redeemer would come to bruise the head of the serpent and that we would find grace. Everything took place, beloved. Perhaps today I'm not so loud, but in no case I want that the words which we look at today, that it goes over our heads. Now it is important to get the connection to the working of God. Believe me, the people of God will be called together for a specific purpose. And now we enter the most important phase which ever existed. And here it is necessary that each one for himself accepts Calvary in all its effect and impact. I preach that to myself just as it is passed on to you. And I ask God for me that he may give me grace. All the burdens, all the troubles, to cast it on him, to trust him, unhindered and unburdened, walking my way to carry out the last commission. There was a time spent, and sometimes it looked like then if would sorrows and troubles would come up when a long time passed before the Lord speaks again. But nobody can tell him when or what he shall do. In reverence, we are before him and we are grateful that he has spoken with us. Beloved, God on the cross of Calvary, he made an eternal covenant with his people. Not to remind you on your sin and then to send you home with agony in your conscience, but putting you into his presence and on the same spot to justify you and to let you know that you are pardoned and that you can go out freely, that the doors of the prisons are open and that the chains, everything has fallen off and we can run out. Oh, church of the living God, people of God, with whom the covenant, the divine holy covenant was made on the cross of Calvary, let it be said to you, your God and Savior speaks with you to show you of what it is all about in this last time. And I believe it is the will of God. And the Spirit of the Lord strives for the church with divine jealousy. When from today on, each one of us, himself, and everyone, his brother and his sister, if everyone sees only through Calvary, what do you see then? What kind of brother do you see? What kind of sister do you see through Calvary? There you see yourself, you see, and all the others, you see them redeemed, cleansed, sanctified, justified, perfected, transferred into the image of Jesus Christ. For how long we shall disesteem the power of his blood? For how long we shall bypass divine facts? The hour is here, and the heavens, they want to open so that the blessing of God can come down on them who said yes to this divine covenant. All of us, we waited long enough or not. All of us, we did everything what was in our strength. Now, the Lord wants to show us. You can nothing. I did everything already. It is prepared for you. Come to me. Ye shall be justified. Go home justified. No more burdened. It makes us sick. It shorts our lives. We go and burdened with sorrows because we didn't understand Calvary yet fully. Us, who we are partly so many years believers, the Lord, after all these years, he must show us what Calvary really means. And if somebody wants to accuse you, then it can only be the accuser of the brethren. Do it like Martin Luther did. And if need be, just throw the ink pot against the wall and say, Satan, get thee behind me. I am a child of God. The blood of the Lamb was shed for me. Here is the book of the covenant, and I belong to the covenant people of God, and the promises which God had given, they will be fulfilled. Let us have a positive attitude toward God and toward his word and redemption, so that faith can be effective in us. No more your efforts, but suddenly we are the giftees, the ones who were pardoned by God. I have a good and liberating message to bring. On the cross of Calvary, God made a new covenant through Jesus Christ our Lord with his people. And all the words of the covenant are like a divine contract. They are valid. The testament went over to the heirs, to those who were left behind. And these are we in this case. Today, on this day, and for the short future which remains for us, God wants that we always have it before our eyes what happened on the cross of Calvary for us and with us. The apostle continued. I just want to read it briefly. Here it says, chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Only one sacrifice. The high priest Every year, he had to bring sacrifices. Jesus, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, he brought one sacrifice. But in this one sacrifice, to the many with whom God made the covenant, the hand of reconciliation was reached. They were pulled out. They are God's. And this we want to receive today. In verse 14 it says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Did you all read it? This is God's holy word. When God can forget, shall we not also not forget? When God has pardoned you, then you see also all the others as God, as pardoned ones of God. And you say, "Thy grace is sufficient for me. This is the covenant which I will make with them after those days." He made this covenant. Therefore it's written in Matthew 26, from verse 26, "This is the blood of the new covenant on the cross of Calvary. The covenant was made. We are the covenant people of the living God." And in closing, let me ask, what did God miss on Israel? Nothing at all. He revealed himself to the people. He prepared the way through the Red Sea. The River Jordan drew back. In the wilderness, he has given water. He let manna fall down from heaven 40 years long. What did the covenant people lack? At the most, that they lacked to believe and to obey. And this is the only thing what we lack. From God's side, everything is done. If there is a lack, then only because of our unbelief and because of our disobedience. May God in you and in me do something, that we step into the footprints of Jesus, and that we also could become obedient, as it says of our Lord, obedient unto the death on the cross. And if we were crucified with him, if we died with him, and if we rose with him, then we shall also live with him in a new life for his glory and for his praise. Let it penetrate your heart. Don't forget it. God wants to gather his people, the people with whom he made the covenant by sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And he says, "My people, I bore your chastisement. Your sins were laid upon me. I brought atonement. Receive now what I have to give to you." And you will see every man who labors and is heavy laden can suddenly get delivered. And then we will hear people shout for joy. Suddenly something will happen. The oppression, the agony, the inner trouble will be over. A loosening from the inside will be given to us. And this loosening will be the redemption. Hallelujah. And the Lord will confirm his word as he said it. He has a people on earth. And these people it is sees also the Ark of the Covenant open. Let me read one verse to it from Revelation chapter 11. It's the last verse, verse 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the Ark of the Covenant, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Mainly, it was about the first part. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. Gather ye my people, with whom I made the covenant by sacrifice. And the heavens opened. Hallelujah. On Calvary, it took place for you and for me. Wonderful Calvary. Wonderful Savior. Who you died for me on Calvary. Who you have atoned my sin and guilt. Who you have given cleansing, sanctification, justification for me. To you, the Lamb of God, be the praise and honor throughout all eternity. O you Lamb of God, you have won the victory on Calvary. Amen, hallelujah, as the German song goes. Beloved, Calvary is Calvary, and the divine victory is a divine victory for you and for me. And at the end, it shall be manifested by the church. These are not empty words. The heavens opened and the Ark of the Covenant was visible in the temple of the Lord. May God bless us and be with all of us. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let us remain in silent prayer before God. We are gathered as his people. He made the covenant with us. And we said yes to this covenant. We believe that we are the covenant people of the New Testament by grace. And we believe that we, under the sprinkling, under the forgiveness, under the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb we are, which speaketh better things than the blood of Abel and all the blood which was shed. Reconciliation, forgiveness, salvation and grace, full deliverance of all guilt, of all guilt, from all guilt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God.
Oh God.
Oh God. Lord, this gathering has the promises for this time accepted and believed it. The word of your covenant, was not despised. But we are pardoned by God, by you. We are loved by you for a specific purpose. Lord, I come. I obey your command. And with your people, I stand at this place and I believe that you made the covenant with us and that all promises of this covenant in your people become reality. Lord, I thank you that the heavens are already opening and the blessing and the salvation and the righteousness of God runs and flows down. Beloved Savior, may today and whoever and wherever this tape will be heard by faith, grasp that your hour has come near and you want to glorify yourself among your people which believes you and which trusts you, redeemed and pardoned. We stand before you. Faithful Lord, on this day, we consecrate ourselves anew to you. And we are available for you. Take our lives. And penetrate our hearts. May all who are still oppressed and who are tormented, may they find peace, deliverance, and redemption. I thank you that now, as in a telephone conversation, I am connected with you, Lord, Almighty God, who you have spoken and you have worked. Here is your people, which is called by your name. You have led us out, and you will lead us in. You started, and you will finish. I praise you, and I glorify your holy name. I thank you for the power of your blood, of your word, and of your spirit. Also in this hour, help me, help each one of us, and bless us from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God.